Our son Michael celebrated his 21st birthday last week, but when he was born, he came into the world 5 weeks early, and I remember when I held that little bundle of life in my hands for the first time, I didn't know whether the Lord who'd given him to us would take him back again. Although I wasn't quite as old as Abraham, it was the first time I could identify with Abraham. 21 years later, Michael is taller than me, he's more intelligent, and he is certainly more handsome than I am. But at 75 years, Abraham was called to serve the Lord. Aged well over 100, he was still having faith-stretching, heart-stopping experiences. And the lesson? We are never too old to face new challenges, fight new battles. Learn new truths. You see, if we stop learning, we stop growing. And if we stop growing, we stop living. Someone said that the first 40 years of life are the text. The next 40 years supply the commentary. And it's the commentary that people will remember. Genesis 22 records the greatest test of Abraham's life. In it, we see the progressive unfolding of God's rescue mission for planet Earth. Because in this story, we see a prefiguring of Jesus' sacrifice on Calvary. And in our teaching series we had a while back, Christ in All the Scriptures, we look specifically at that. And you may like to go back to that sermon, which is online. This morning, I want us to consider five lessons that we can learn from the testing of Abraham. And there is an outline. If you haven't got it, grab one on the way out. Now, we can learn from Abraham's testing the hard way or the easy way, with God or without God's help. The first lesson is that we should expect tests from Almighty God. We should expect tests. Genesis 22, verse 1 and 2. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham, here I am," he replied. God said, "Take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you." We all face tests. That's because it's the only way we grow. Do you remember when you first became a Christian and your friends discovered what you did on Sundays? They were watching you. They were observing. They may have joked about it, but they were watching you. They may even have been testing you to see how real your faith was. Would you no longer exaggerate your mileage claims? Would you still arrive late for work? Would you still swear occasionally? Could they get you a little tipsy? Would you still join in the gossip? Little tests that you may never have been aware of, designed to show one of two things. Either you just got religious and you were now a pain in the neck, or you had experienced something very significant, an encounter with Jesus that he did not have. Abraham went through many tests. This perhaps may have been the most challenging, but you look back in his life, as we've done in the last few weeks, there was that family test. He was asked to leave the security of his home in Ur and go to a place, a new land. There was the famine test. He failed that one. He doubted God when they went down to Egypt for help. He pretended his wife was his sister to stay out of trouble. Abraham passed the fellowship test with Lot when he allowed Lot to choose the best land, and Abraham went the other way. He failed the fatherhood test. Sarah got impatient with God and suggested Abraham have a child through Hagar. When the time came to send Ishmael away, he passed the farewell test. He let his son go, even though it broke his heart. See, not every difficult experience in life is a personal test from God. But every experience can be either a test or a temptation, or both, depending on where it's from and depending on how we deal with it. If you think about it, sometimes it's our disobedience that causes pain or disappointment. Sometimes our hurts are simply the normal part of human life. As we grow older, loved ones, family, friends move away or they die. Life changes around us, and we must make painful adjustments. But if we're going to stay close to God, we have to distinguish between temptations and trials. Temptations come from within, from our own desires, whereas trials will come along our way from the Lord. They're designed to refine and purify us. Temptations are designed to bring us down. Satan uses temptations to bring the worst out in us. God uses trials to bring the best out of us. Temptations will seem logical and attractive. Trials are very unreasonable. Why would God give Abraham a son and then ask Abraham to kill him? Perhaps it's because God had not waited for that son. Having fulfilled the promise, God needed to know whether he could trust Abraham. Would Abraham trust him unconditionally, unreservedly? We should expect tests from God, but when we expect those tests, we should remember the promise he made through Paul to the Corinthians. No temptation is overtaking you except what is common to mankind. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond that which you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will provide a way out that you can endure it. Whether it's temptation or a test from God, God will not allow us to go beyond that which we can endure. In his book, The Road Less Traveled, the psychiatrist M. Scott Peck said, life is difficult. Once we truly know that life is difficult, once we truly understand and accept it, then life is no longer difficult. You see, when you recognize God is testing you, then you know that he will help you. You can pass the test. First lesson, expect tests from Almighty God. Secondly, focus on the promises of God and don't expect explanations. That's part of the test. It's part of the test. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took him with two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him to go. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you. Notice Abraham says, we will come back to you. Not I, but we will come back. He was focusing on the promises of God. The French mystic Madame Guyon said, the hardest task is to bear with our neighbor. That's the commencement of our spiritual life. It's handling our neighbors. As we progress in life, the hardest task is coping with ourselves. But in the end, it is with God. Like Abraham, our faith is not really tested until God asks us to consider what seems unbearable, to do what seems unreasonable, and to expect what seems impossible. Abraham wasn't the first to be tested, and he wasn't the last. Think of Moses with those millions of God's people behind him as he came to the Red Sea. David as he hid in the cave from Saul. Peter by the fire as he denied Jesus. The lesson is the same. We live by promises, not explanations. Consider how unreasonable this command of God was. Isaac was Abraham's son. and the future of the covenant rested on him. He was a miracle child, the gift of God to Abraham and Sarah in response to their faith. They loved their son. They'd built their future around him. And when God asked Abraham to offer his son, he was testing Abraham's faith and his hope and his love to the limit. It seemed as if God was taking away from Abraham and Sarah everything they lived for. You see, when God tests us, the first response, certainly is with me, is, why, Lord? Why me? Why now? It's very inconvenient. We want explanations. But we must trust in God's promises. Notice verse 3. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He obeyed. God had commanded, and he obeyed. He didn't argue. He didn't rationalize. He obeyed God when he didn't know where he was going. He didn't know when they would get there. He didn't know why he was going. But he obeyed all the same. Two lessons so far. Expect tests from God. Secondly, focus on God's promises, not explanations. They may come, but they'll always come later. Thirdly, depend on God's provision. Depend on God's provision. You see Abraham's faith in action. Isaac spoke up and said to his father, Abraham, Father, yes, my son, Abraham said, the fire and the wood are here, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. How do we know Abraham was trusting God's promises? He'd already said to the servants, we will come back to you. And now he says to his son, God will provide the lamb. As they climbed Mount Moriah, Abraham was confident God would meet their need somehow. On what could Abraham depend? He couldn't depend on his feelings because he knew what he'd been commanded to do. He couldn't depend on his wife. She was back home. The two servants were back with the donkey in the camp. You know, we should thank God daily for our family and friends who help us to carry our burdens. But there are some tests we have to face alone. It's only then that we can see what our Father can really do for us. See, Abraham had already experienced the resurrection power of God in his own body in giving him the son. That's what Hebrews hints at. That he had the faith to believe that even if he had to kill his son, God could raise him a second time. That's the kind of faith that the Apostle Paul writes about to the Philippians. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And we know that God did indeed provide the sacrifice that Abraham expected. The ram took Isaac's place at the altar. And Abraham discovered a new name for God, Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will see to it. The Lord will be seen. The Lord will provide. But where does the Lord provide for our needs? Abraham had to be in the right place for God to meet that need. We have no right to expect God's provision if we're not daily walking with him, listening, obeying, following. And when does God meet that need? Only when we need it. Sometimes it looks like God is going to be late, but God always provides at the right time. And how does God provide for us? So often it is through the natural, through a friend, a family. They may not know that God is using them, but they are there at the right place to encourage, to guide, to inspire. God didn't send an angel with a sacrifice. He simply allowed the ram to get caught in a bush just when Abraham needed it and in a place where Abraham could get his hands on it. And Abraham, by the way, only needed one animal. God didn't send a flock. He just sent one. Someone famous once said, "When God's work is done in God's way, it will never lack God's supply." God is not obligated to bless my ideas, my projects, but he will provide for his work when I do it his way. Three lessons so far. Expect tests from Almighty God. Focus on promises, not explanations. Depend on God's provision. And fourthly, glorify God in all you do. Glorify God in all you do. If ever two suffering people reveal the glory of God, it was the Father and the Son. You see, the relationship between Abraham and Isaac on Mount Moriah is a picture of the relationship between God the Father and God the Son. Jesus said to the Jews, "Your father, Abraham, rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad." I believe it was on Mount Moriah that God gave Abraham an insight into his greatest son to come. And in the story of Abraham and Isaac, we see four things that are revealed more fully in the Lord Jesus. The first is that the Father and Son acted together. There's that moving phrase of verse 8, the two of them went on together. In sharing our faith, we often emphasize the Father's love for lost people. We focus on the sacrifice of Jesus to save us. But we don't often mention that in the gospel we see the Father and the Son loving each other and cooperating together. In Matthew 3, our Heavenly Father, as Jesus has been baptized, said, "This is my beloved Son, I love him." In John 14, Jesus said, "But that the world might know that I love the Father." It was their mutual love that led to the Father not withholding his Son. They acted in love together. Secondly, the Son had to die. The Son had to die. Abraham carried two things, a knife and a flame, both instruments of death. The knife that would end Isaac's physical life, the fire that would burn the wood and his body as a sacrifice. But in Isaac's case, a substitute died for him, but no one could take the place of Jesus on the cross. He was the only sacrifice that could finally and completely take away the sins of the world. If you find it difficult to accept that God asked Abraham to sacrifice his son, then perhaps we should dwell upon our sin and why it was so necessary for Jesus to die in our place. When Isaac said, "Where is the lamb?" it was John the Baptist who answered, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." You see, at Calvary, Jesus experienced much more than death. He experienced the judgment of God for the sins of the world. Isaac felt neither the knife nor the fire, but Jesus felt both. Isaac's loving father was right there beside him, but Jesus was forsaken by his heavenly father when he became sin for us. Thirdly, the son bore the burden of sin. You know, it's interesting. Wood is mentioned five times in the narrative, and Isaac only began to carry the wood when they arrived at Mount Moriah. It's a walking distance between Mount Moriah and Calvary. Jesus was carrying the cross as they went past Mount Moriah to Calvary. It says Abraham took the wood and placed it on his son. Isaiah 53 says, the Lord God Almighty, has laid on him, Jesus, the iniquity of us all. The Father and Son acted together. The Son had to die. The Son bore the burden of sin. And the Son was raised from the dead. Isaac did not die. But Hebrews 11 says, figuratively, he did. In a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. Jesus, however, did die. He was buried, and he was triumphantly resurrected. Abraham had offered Isaac back to God, and God had given him back. The most important outcome of the testing for Abraham was that their relationship was deepened. God had tested Abraham, and he had passed the test. And that's God's purpose for us. It is that we might grow closer to our Father and that we might become more like his Son. So, expect tests from Almighty God. Focus on promises, not explanations. Depend on God's provision. Glorify God in all you do. And lastly, look forward to all that Christ has for you. Look forward to all that Christ has for you. Abraham called the place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided." The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. Through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me." There's always an afterward to the tests of life because God never wastes suffering. Their relationship was deepened. Abraham called the place, "The Lord will provide," because the Lord did provide. And it was a constant reminder. And to this day, it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided." So others' faith was enhanced and enriched and blessed every time they were reminded of that place. God blessed Abraham. He received a new approval from God. He'd obeyed God. He'd sought to please God's heart, and God had commended him. Abraham received a new assurance. He'd heard these promises about the future before, but now they took on fresh meaning. He knew it would be through Isaac that the covenant promises would be fulfilled, and he had been given an insight into how his seed, the Lord Jesus, would be the one through whom we would be the fulfillment of those promises. And Abraham learned a new name for God, Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. The Lord will see to it. I can't predict what tests you are going to face this week, but I can guarantee there will be tests. Because God's heart's desire is that you grow closer to him and that you become more like Jesus. So as you face tests this week, remember this story, and may God be to you Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for showing us from the story of Abraham and Isaac how you tested and refined Abraham's faith. Help us to learn that lesson the easy way and not the hard way this week. To expect tests from you. And when those tests come, Lord, help us to focus on your promises and not expect explanations. Help us to depend upon your provision. Help us to glorify you in all that we do this week. And may our faith be enriched as a result. Your kingdom extended and your name glorified. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.